Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Anybody love Jesus in this place? Okay, a few of you. But like, for real, does anybody love Jesus in this place? Like I wouldn't be here had he not died for me. If there's anybody in the room knows that you can't live without Jesus, can you just lift up your hands, open up your mouths, and give Jesus your best praise in this place? We worship you, God. We praise you, Jesus. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anyone glad to be in church on this Sunday? Man. I want you to remain standing for a second. It's been a phenomenal day in the presence of God. And I preached a message, the same message in the last two services that I'm not going to preach in this service. Holy Spirit told me that I needed to switch it up. I would totally encourage you to get the podcast from the last service if you weren't there for that. We know that there are some people double dipping. But I'm so excited when I really know in my heart God wants to say to us and do in us in this next moment. However, before I get to that, I'm fully aware that church like this doesn't just happen because there's a beautiful building, although it's a beautiful building, and because people gather, because singing is great and you got really good looking guest speakers. It's not because of those things, but because there are leaders, there are pastors that said yes to the call of God and live a submitted, committed life to proclaiming the good news of Jesus. I want to take a second. I want to truly honor your pastors today because they are so encouraging. They're so life-giving. They are the real deal. I know that in these moments, there's always the cynic in the room, like, here we go. They honored the guest speaker. Now the guest speaker's going to come up. He's going to honor the pastors. It's going to be a big honor fest. And the truth is, number one, if your guest speaker can't honor your pastor, then they shouldn't be your guest speaker. Number two, and most importantly, I love that. It's like, right, honor my pastor. I love it. Number two. Theology teaches us that when you make much of a man or a woman of God, what you're saying is, God, I agree with your choice. And when you come in agreement with the choices of God, he extracts praise and worship from them. Word of Life, can you help me? Because I can't think of a better choice than the one that God made in putting your pastors over this house. If you are grateful for their lives and their leadership, come on, can you make some noise in this place? We love you. You guys are amazing. You can go on ahead and grab a seat. Although you do not have to remain seated after this moment, because I am going to preach this word like I feel it. And I want you to know that I feel like I'm home. Is that okay that I say that? I feel like I'm not a guest speaker. I feel like I'm home. In fact, today I'm going to preach to you a message that I've never preached outside of my own home church. But all throughout worship all day, I felt like the Holy Spirit just kept reminding me of the word. And at the end of the last service, as I was standing over to the side, I just felt like the Holy Spirit say, you have to preach this message in this service. So you ready? Okay, four of you over here. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, there we go. There we go. If you don't know who I am, I do come from New York. I'm a part of a great church called Christ Tabernacle, where my parents are my senior pastors. Their name is our Pastor Michael and Maria Durso, and they are phenomenal. And for 12 years, my wife and I oversaw their youth and their young adults through a ministry called Misfit NYC. And about 4 years ago, we stepped out of that position to enter in a transition where come January of 2020, my wife and I will become the new senior pastors of the church that we grew up in. Thank you. And let me just say, if you ever remember me beyond this moment, would you pray for me? We do not take it lightly by any means. So we could use all the prayer we could possibly get. Amen. I want to open up by reading to you from our Old Testament. And then we're going to skip on over to our New Testament. In our Old Testament, I'm going to read this Psalm, Psalm 91. Now, this is the kind of verse that when you read it out loud, it definitely invokes a response. So if you feel like shouting as I'm reading, you could, and I get it. We get it because God is that good. So in Psalm 91, verse 1, it says this: those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. In other words, there's no other man, there's no other woman, there's no organization. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I love the ownership. He is my God. He's not a distant God. He's not a God. He is my God. Does anybody have a personal relationship with their God? He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you in the name of Jesus. These evils will not touch you in the name of Jesus. Does anybody receive that? Those evils will not touch you or your family or your spouse or your children or your children's children or your children's children's children in the name of Jesus. Do you receive that in this place? Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Lord your refuge, in other words, this is all available to anyone and everyone that is willing to make the Lord their refuge. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. That is a whole lot of good news right there. For those that love him. If you love him in this house, make some noise. No, like you love him. Like you don't mind praising him on the beginning of the sermon, love him. Like you don't even care that the pastor didn't ask you to stand. You love him that much. You want to give him a standing ovation. Only if you love him like that, take about 45 seconds right now and show him how much you love him. 1, 2, 3, go. We love you, God. We love you. We love you. And you love us, so you protect us. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. When you love him, you find yourself in his shelter. You find yourself in his refuge. You find yourself in his shadow. When you love him. Skipping on over to our New Testament, Hebrews 10, verse 1 says this: the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow. It was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Can you imagine only being able to see a shadow and not being able to see the object that is causing the shadow? This is what life was like in the Old Testament. Let me point out to you, the psalm I just read to you is Old Testament, which is so encouraging to me that in the Old Testament, the psalmist could have that kind of confidence. The psalmist could have that kind of praise. I mean, here it says the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. They were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. It was only a shadow. It was only a glimpse. I find myself so encouraged that somebody could have that kind of confidence, that kind of understanding, and that kind of praise without being able to experience what we've been able to experience. See, because we're on the other side of the cross, our praise should be just as confident, just as great, just as loud. You ever heard the term that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed? And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament embodies the gospel. The New Testament shows how the gospel came to be. I have so much respect for a psalmist that could write like this and talk like this with just a shadow, with just a preview. I remember going to the movies with my son Dylan. He might have been 4 years old, and we're going to watch a movie that, of course, he wants to watch. Well, because, you know, children, they be ruining things. And I remember being in the movie theater. He was so excited to be in the movie theater. And the previews came on. Anybody love previews? I love the previews. And he was excited about the preview. And the preview wasn't even on for a total of 10 seconds. And I remember in the middle of the preview, he was like, "Dad, this is my favorite movie ever." Kind of looking at him like, "All right, son. How could you be that excited about a preview that you didn't even get to see the whole thing that you'd already say it's your favorite?" It's amazing to me. And the Old Testament, they already had this kind of understanding of the gospel. They already had this kind of understanding of the God. But with just a shadow casted, he was already his favorite. For the sake of what I want to talk to you about today, I wrote this, and I want you to write this down. The Old Testament is a foreshadow of the cross that will be established. The New Testament casts a shadow of the established cross. The Old Testament is a foreshadow of the cross that will be established. The New Testament casts a shadow of the established cross. I want to take the next few moments and I want to preach to you slash teach to you. So I'm going to treach to you. That was a joke for the four of you that got it. From the idea of the art of shadow boxing. I know that's a good title, right? You're welcome. The art of shadow boxing. If you're taking notes, write that down. The art of shadow boxing. If you're not taking notes, take notes. The art of shadow boxing. I'm a church kid. I grew up in church my whole life. My parents have been my pastors my entire life. The church that I will soon become the pastor of is the church that I grew up in. And before I was Pastor Chris in that church, I was Sinner Chris in that church. And I caused problems in that church. And I was Chaotic Chris in that church. I was the reason why we did altar calls in that church. I wasn't always saved in that church. I remember being as a teenager in our youth choir. I was not in our youth choir because I wanted to sing. I was in our youth choir because my parents told me if I wanted to live in their house, I had to sing. So I was in the youth choir. I used to sing in a youth choir. Cannot sing, not a good singer at all, but I was made to be in the youth choir. Now, if you were in the youth choir, the music director or the choir director would give us these cassette tapes. Now, some of you are like, "What's a cassette tape?" Google it later. These cassette tapes were our choir part tapes. Bless their heart. They thought that teenagers were going to practice during the week without them. What they didn't realize is that they were actually helping me sin. See, I would take these choir part tapes, and I would leave the cover of the choir part tape as is. But what I would do is that overnight, I would put the cassette tape in my stereo. Some of you were like, what's that? Google it. On a stereo, there was a play button, and to the left of the play button was a red record button. And if you press both at the same time, you would be able to record the radio live. So I would record what Funkmaster Flex, a New York DJ, was playing overnight so that in the morning on the way to school, I could listen to what Funkmaster Flex was playing so that I had something to talk about at the lunch table. But check this out. When I'd be leaving the house, and my Pentecostal saved mother that would never allow her son to listen to such filth and smut would say, son, what are you listening to? I would just open up the Walkman. And some of you were like, what's that? Google it. And I would show her the choir part tape and bless her heart because she thought that's what I was listening to. Now, I won't say all that to say that I've only learned to sin like this because my older brother Jordan, who is now my missions pastor, I really had no other point in saying any of those things other than to tell on him. I've been dying to tell on him, and little brothers will be little brothers. But he used to take his non-Christian, his secular CDs, and he would hide it in the sleeves of his Christian CDs. And again, some of you are like, what's a CD? So he would take it and he would hide it in the sleeves of these CDs. And there was this one CD that he would play on repeat all the time when my parents weren't home. And there was this one song of this one rap group that was titled The Art of Shadowboxing. The singer was a man named Jizzy. He's a part of a rap group called the Wu-Tang Clan. Again, some of you are like, who's that? Google it, or maybe don't Google them. But anyway, he would listen to this song on repeat all the time. As a kid, I didn't understand it, and still to this day, I probably still wouldn't. However, the term has stayed with me. And in fact, just the other day, I was thinking to myself, what is shadow boxing? So then I Googled it. And when I Googled it, I found out that shadow boxing was a technique that fighters, that people that are really well in shape, like people like me, we why was that funny? It's a technique that fighters take to practice their fighting stance, and they fight imaginary figures. And I thought to myself, man, that will preach all day. And one day I want to preach on that because I think it's important that we practice for every attack that comes our way. But as I was thinking about this term and I asked the Holy Spirit, why are you making me think about this statement? He says, I want to talk to you about shadow boxing, but that definition is pertaining to practice. And I want you to talk to the people about position. Can you put the definition up of shadow boxing for me? The new definition that we're going to talk about today is fighting the attacks of life from people or the enemy while positioned within the shadows of the cross. Fighting the attacks of life from people or the enemy while positioned within the shadows of the cross. So if the world behind me and the cross be for me, I stand in the shadows of the cross, and as a result of standing in the shadows of the cross, I am able to take on everything that people throw my way, the enemy throws my way, and any other arrow that tries to come my way. Why? Because there is safety in the presence, in the shelter, in the shadows of our God. Let me show you a picture so maybe it makes just a little bit more sense. Can you put that diagram up there for me? Thank you. So this is what it looks like to properly shadow box. We have the cross. Do you know that the cross is still established? Like, the cross is still the cross. The power of the cross has never depreciated. The power of the cross has never expired. The power of the cross is still as potent today as it was almost 2,000 years ago when it was established. Am I the only one that would believe that in this room? That do we not serve a God that died and conquered death, and death is still conquered? Amen? And because death has been conquered, you can put that back up there, I'm sorry. Because death is conquered, salvation stands and salvation will never be removed. It's always established because Jesus will forever be on the throne. And I want you to notice the posture of the person. See, that's you. Whether you think you look like that or not, that's you. And what you're going to do is you're going to learn how to fight your battles properly. Because what you've been doing is you've been fighting the opposite direction. You've been trying to protect the cross with the cross behind you. But you don't need to protect the cross. You need to fight through the cross. Because when you fight through the cross, you live as Jesus lives. See, there's protection and wholeness in the shadow of the cross. What happens is the cross becomes your filter. When the cross becomes your filter, no matter what the arrow is, no matter what the attack is, no matter what the statement is, none of them stop you from operating the way that you need to operate. Because if the cross be for you, if God be for you, then what does it matter who's against you? So in other words, you start to live a life that is not up and down. It's not a roller coaster of emotions, but you are able to stand firm and you are able to stand established and rooted in the fact that Jesus is Lord. Well, what happens if they talk about me? They could talk about you, but you live established in the fact that the cross is the cross. Well, what if they threaten me? They could threaten you, but what does it matter? Because the cross is established, and if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. And when you start to live like this, do you know what happens? You start to enjoy life more. You start to enjoy marriage more. You start to enjoy your children more. You start to get closer to God. And what really starts to happen is that you're able to worship God no matter the situation. You are able to praise God no matter the situation, because when you catch the revelation that nobody is ever removing that cross and there is nothing that is going to change the fact that Jesus is Lord, what you start to do is you start to reduce your problems in comparison to the cross. Up until this point, many of you have been reducing the cross with the size of your problem. But here's what you have to understand. I don't worship for victory. I worship from victory. I don't praise for victory. I praise from victory. I mean, do you believe the lyrics that you were just singing a few seconds ago, that we have a champion, that we have somebody that is won? Well, if he's won, guess what? No one's taking that belt away from him. No one's taking that position away from him. He is God and he is Lord. If you believe that, give him a shout. Give him a shout. Now I want to further demonstrate this point. Where's the gentleman that's going to be helping me with this? Is it you, sir? Wow. You're taller than me and you're not even on stage yet. Okay, come up here. Thank you for being so tall. I'm not going to lie, I kind of envy you. I want to be tall, that's why I wear heels. Can you come stand over here, sir? Stand right here on the X. I put that X there for you. I'm lying, I didn't, but it's there, so we're going to go with it. Can you stretch out your arms and make a cross? Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell a story, then I'm going to come back to you. But you have to stay like this. Can you do that? You good? Oh, no. I thought we were about to pass it, you know what I mean? Like, no, we're not. Okay. You can't move because you're the cross, and the cross doesn't move. You gotta stay there. Okay, you good? You got this. Man, okay. So there was this story that my wife shared with me that I've heard 1,000 times. But the other day we're on vacation and she reshared the story again. But this time when she shared it, she added a new piece of information that made me laugh so hard. She shares the story how in Queens, where we grew up, just a few blocks away from our church, she was walking with one of her friends. Her friend's name's Ashley. And they were laughing. And as they were laughing, just talking about whatever they were talking about, there were these other girls at the gas station. And for some reason, they didn't like that my wife and her friend were laughing. So they approach her, and they start to threaten her. We're going to beat you up. You're going to die today. Just normal stuff that you hear in New York, you know? One girl pulls out a blade, puts the blade to my wife's face, and says, "You're gonna remember me forever from this moment." As she brings the blade to cut my wife, Ashley, who's about 4 foot nothing, came out of nowhere, punched the girl in the face. Now Ashley and my wife are running down the street. This is a scene legitimately out of a movie, but if you've ever been to New York, this is just every hour. So as they're running down this street, the cops show up straight out of Law and Order. The cops show up right on the curb, and now they get in between Jairus, my wife, and Ashley, and now these hooligans. I'm way too young to use terms like hooligans. Anyway, the cops grab the girls that started the problem because the girls have been starting problems all around the neighborhood. I heard that part of the story before. Here was the new bit of information that made me laugh so hard. My wife shared with me that when the cops showed up and now started to arrest the girls, she got this confidence. See, you got to understand, my wife is the sweetest. She's not a tough cookie. I mean, if maybe you hear like where she comes from, because she was born in Bushwick, Brooklyn. She's Colombian and German, and those are really strong leadership roots, by the way. If you hear those things, you might think, ooh, she's a tough cookie, but really she's not. She's more like a delicate flower. So in the moment when the blade's to her face, she's scared. She's scared. But then when the cops show up, she starts to taunt the girls. She starts to laugh like, "Ha ha, what you gonna do now?" And it made me laugh so hard. Like no one liked that guy, by the way. Like when you're getting a fight in school and everyone's like, "Oh," and like they're not really doing anything. And all of a sudden the teacher comes up, and when the teacher pops up and now separates you, they're like, "Yo, let me go, I'm gonna kill him." You're like, "Man, you lying. Like, you stop, you know." Because the authority has showed up, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, I have this confidence and this assurance because of the established cross. And because the cross is established, I don't need to stand in front of it. I don't need to stand to the side of it. You know what I need to do? I need to stand behind it. And when opposition is coming my way, I am protected because of the cross. And no matter what anyone says about me, no matter what anyone tries to do about me, I have an established cross that cannot be uprooted. The cross has got the final word. It has conquered death. It has conquered murder. It has conquered the enemy. Which means that all I need to do is stand in the shadows of the cross and I will forever be protected. What I'm trying to help you do today is reposition you and get you in the place of where you need to be, because you've been worried, you've been scared about all the lies of the enemy. And what I'm saying to you is, as long as you find yourself here, you're not going to be touched. No enemy is going to get you. No disease is going to overwhelm you. No matter if it's 1,000 or 10,000, you will be protected because of the cross. If you are grateful for the cross and are saved by the cross, take about 60 seconds, lift up your hands, open up your mouths, and let's make much of Jesus in this place. 1, 2, 3, go. When I stand in the shadows of the cross, I am protected. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people do. I'm exactly where I need to be. It is a promise. As long as I find myself in the safety, as long as I find myself in the shelter, as long as I find myself in the shadows of the cross, evil will never get the best of me. You don't have to fight your battles. The battle's already been won. You have to start to stand in victory. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. And as long as Jesus be before me, it doesn't matter who's against me. One more time, because he's that good, give him a shout. As a man thinketh, so he is. I'm trying to help you to think differently. I'm trying to get you to a Romans 12 moment where you could renew your mind. You don't have to worry like you worry. You don't have to live like you live. You don't have to question everyone. You don't have to be a skeptic. Anxiety doesn't have to rule you in the name of Jesus. Depression doesn't have to rule you in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be overwhelmed. Why? Because the cross is the cross is the cross. And it got the final word, and that's never going to change in the name of Jesus. It's about positioning yourself. Do you know that when you position yourself in the cross, you don't have to fight like how you've been fighting? You start to fight differently. You start to laugh. You start to operate. And many of you, because you haven't fully understood this concept, you've been living in this space, but you've been experiencing no freedom. We own a dog, and his name is Jack. And Jack is hilarious. When we first got him, he was really cute. I mean, he's still cute, but he was impossible to train. So what we did was we got something called the invisible fence. Anyone ever heard this before? The invisible fence is this perimeter that you set up outside your house, and that anytime the dog, Jack, would attempt to go past this perimeter, he should have received just a little buzz, a little wake-up call, to let him know that he can't go any further. So in order for the invisible fence to work, I had to train him every day. I had to take Jack from the front door and walk him to where the perimeter was. I would let him get close to it that he got the buzz, and then walk him back. And every day I was supposed to do this for about 20 times so that he would learn that he can't go beyond this place. Well, one day, training's over, it's go time. I'm like, ha-ha, we did it. We don't gotta worry about a thing. Jack didn't know that we knew that. Let me say it this way. Jack didn't know that we thought that, and he didn't know that he was supposed to know that. Because when I let him off that leash, can I tell you that he ran? He ran like he never ran before. And when he got to this moment, I knew he felt something because he let out a "Arr!" But he kept on going, and he kept on going. And the moment he got past that threshold, the moment he got past his "Arr!" he kept on going, and he ended up on the other side. And as I'm watching him on the other side, he's running with all the kids in the neighborhood. He's running around the grass. He's having a ball. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck just happened? How did he get through what I thought I trained him to stay behind? What I'm trying to tell you is that your fears have been trying to train you. Your enemy has been trying to train you. Your insecurities and your doubts have been trying to train you. And they're telling you that you can't get beyond this moment. But you know why you can? Because the cross already conquered. And because the cross conquered it, this is the moment where you break free. This is the moment where you push past your limitations. This is the moment where your comfort zone is broken. This is the moment where everything that you said can never be done or will never be done because of your culture, because of your upbringing, because of what happened to you, you realize that it was just a lie. And because of that, you are able to get to all the places that God has for you. If you are ready for freedom in this place, give him a shout. The cross has conquered it. And there are three areas in particular that I want to help you in to shift your thinking. One is your relationships. One is your relationships. Two, it's your pain. And three, it's your trials. I want to talk to you about your relationships, your trials, and your pain. Your relationships, your trials, and your pain. Your relationship, your trials, and your pain. There's a great difference between trials and pain. We'll talk about it in a second. But first off, I want to talk to you about your relationship. Point number one, can you throw that up on the screen? Not everyone is out to get you. Not everyone is out to get you. You know how I got this idea? Because I was walking in New York, and I was going to say I saw an animal, but, you know, our animals are very different than your animals. I mean, like for us, it's like squirrels and pigeons. For you guys, it could be, I don't know, deer or bunnies. And so you ever notice like when you walk past like either a squirrel or a bunny, how they look? You ever notice that they freeze up? You ever notice that? Like you're walking past and they just go. Because in their mind, it's a survival skill. They don't want you to kill them, but in your mind, you're like, I don't care about you. I'm just trying to get to my car, man. I'm just trying to get to where I need to go. But you ever notice how they just. That's some of you walking around life. Everyone that passes you, you're like. Because in your mind, everyone is out to get you. And because everyone is out to get you, you're not able to trust anyone. And it's funny because you've been praying. You're like, God, send me a man. And then a man shows up and you're like. You're like, God, send me a woman. And a woman shows up. You're like. God, send me a small group. And then you get invited to a small group and you're like. Because you don't trust people. And there's this narrative in the church that it isn't true. It's like they preach this narrative that you gotta be careful to protect yourself from your Judas. And it's like, well, that's not really true because Jesus knew who Judas was and still invited him in. See, you have to understand that Jesus was very aware of who his Judas was. And guess what? It didn't stop him from loving his Judas. Well, the narrative switches when you start to realize that you're actually supposed to love your enemy and you're actually supposed to bless those that persecute you. How could I do that? Well, as long as I stand in the shadows of the cross, I ain't worried about nothing. I'm not worried about anyone getting the best of me, which allows me and frees me up to love anyone and everyone. How about this bit of information? Everyone's so focused on their Judas that you forget the fact that there were 11 others that were for him. I find it so amazing that we can make life about the one and you forget about how many more are for you. I don't doubt that there was one that hurt you. I don't doubt that there were a few that were against you. But can I encourage you? I mean, look at this beautiful church you're in. There are more people for you than there are against you. And my prayer today is like when Elisha prayed over the servant, God, would you open up his eyes and would you allow him to see the angels that are surrounding him and for him? Can you allow us to know that we have the victory? The word that I just read to you in Psalms says that God sends his angels to be with you. Friends, you are protected. And because you are protected, you don't have to be worried about anyone or everything and cut yourself off from society. The enemy would love for you to cut yourself off and do life alone, but your life was never meant to be done alone. You're supposed to show people the love of Jesus and the work that was done on the inside of you so that you can get them to Jesus. This is why 1 John 4 talks about that we are the representation of Jesus himself. So in other words, if they get to meet us, they'll get to meet him. If they don't get to meet us, they may never get to him. Jesus could have stood on earth, but he decided to leave you. Not everyone is out to get you. You don't gotta, because you're protected. Point number two, if you put that up, not everything that trips you needs to trap you. Not everything that trips you needs to trap you. In fact, I got this point because a friend of mine sent me this video on Instagram and it made me laugh so hard. I wanted to share it with you. Can you just watch it real quick? If you could play that video for me. Watch this. Oh, he keeps going. That laugh is so disrespectful. Look at this guy. Oh, yep. How good is that? This is my favorite one right here. This guy, I want to meet him one day. He's my inspiration. Watch this. Oh, I'm going to keep walking. I wish some of you learned how to live like that. Like you trip up, you get hit, then all of a sudden, like you're down forever. I want to live like that. If I get hit, man, just the other day I was on the plane, I was walking to the bathroom and I tripped. True story, I tripped, but when I tripped forward, this man caught me in his arms. It's a weird moment, FYI. But he gave me the best response. He goes, my bad, I tripped you, but you're good now, keep going. He didn't even pick up his head. He just went right back to his laptop. And I thought to myself, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this. Like, I feel like we're supposed to talk this one out. Like, you tripped me. But you know what? He's right. People will only make a big deal what you make a big deal about. I could have stood there and argued with him, but the fact is, I did trip. But he caught me. And I was good. Look. Some of you are still on the floor from a trip that you could have got up from a year ago. Years ago. A month ago. Well, he walked out on me. Well, she said this about me. Well, they did this to me. I'm sure they did, and I don't doubt it. However, you are giving way too much power to your issue and way much too much power to your trip, and the trip is trapping you. But the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So which means you don't have to stay here. Here's what I'm saying. I don't know what caused it. What caused it may not be your fault. But if you choose to stay in it, that's your fault. If I bump into something, whoa. You ever see one of those long falls? Those are my favorite, by the way. Then they fall. And you gotta love people because people want people to see that they fell. So like no one's around to see, like, I fell. Someone call someone. I fell. That's a fun position. I fell. Where's the video camera? Someone get this on Instagram. I got to post about it. It's going to make a great blog. I'm on the floor. You know what God's saying? Get up. You're wasting time. You're making this moment a monument. All it needed to be was a moment. You tripped. You fell. I get that it hurt you. But it doesn't need to keep hurting you. And in fact, you've allowed it to hurt you so much that now you're hurting others. I don't doubt what was done to you was bad. I just know because of the word of God, there's nothing greater than the cross, which means if there's nothing greater, I am able to overcome every obstacle. I am able to overcome every trial. I am able to overcome every issue, which means if you want to stay down, that's on you. But Jesus, he did go down. But 3 days later, he got up. He rose so that we could get up. He rose so that we can rise. He resurrected so that we could show death can't even get the best of us. Death can't even hold us down. And you're staying there? No. It's time to get up. I gotta end. Point three, and we'll close. It's only a stitch. It's not severed. It's only a stitch. It's not severed. I know you're cut. But you can still use whatever's been cut. This past 4th of July, my wife and I were celebrating at a close friend's house. As we're hanging out there, she was putting this lid on this jar. And as she's putting this lid on this glass jar, the jar explodes in her hand. It's like this freak accident. We have to rush her to the ER. Come to find out, she was cutting her hand and she was cutting her leg. She had to get stitches in her hand. She had to get stitches in her leg. The funny part is, the kids were freaking out. My friends were freaking out. And I was freaking out. But my wife, she wasn't freaking out. She was good. In fact, she had to take control of the situation because we were all scared as we're watching the blood squirt everywhere. And she's like, don't worry, give me a napkin. Okay, we'll give you that. Don't worry. Bring me to the ER. Yeah, good idea. Let's get you to the ER. When we were leaving, my friend said to her, Jairus, how was it that you were able to keep your peace? And she said so brilliantly, because I knew it was just a cut. We could make a big deal and say, yeah, but you were cut. Or we could say, no, I was cut, but I'm still here. If I was to compare her and the glass jar, my wife is still of use. That glass jar will never be used again. Don't mourn for me, I'm here. Yeah, but you were cut. I was cut, and I got the scar. But you know what the scar proves? That it didn't kill me. The scar proves that it cut me, but I can still use my hand. The scar proves that it cut me, but I can still use my neck. The scar proves that something did happen, but it didn't happen the way that it planned to happen. Opposition may come at you, but I have the proof that it tried and it failed. This is why when Jesus shows up and he runs up to Thomas, who's doubting, he says, let me show you my scar. Why is he doing that? He's like, because Thomas, you thought that death got the best of me. You must not have realized who your Jesus is. I did die, but guess what? I died so that I could murder death. I got the best of death. I killed death. I took death where it needed to go, and I wanted to show you that I am all powerful. You have to change the way that you think. You have to change the way that you operate. When you realize how great your God is, you realize how small your attacker is. You realize how powerless your enemy is. 2 years ago, I got a phone call. It's the IRS. They said, sir, you didn't pay your taxes. The cops are on their way to arrest you. And I'm like, wait a minute. Absolutely, I paid my taxes. He goes, no, you didn't. And they're coming to arrest you right now. Now I'm freaking out because I'm like, I'm too pretty to go to jail. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to make it. I'm a pastor. So I'm on the phone with the IRS. I start texting my wife, texting my CPA, the woman that handles all our taxes. My wife's now freaking out. CPA is freaking out. And then the CPA says to me, she says, send me the phone number that they're calling you from. So I send it to her. She writes back, laugh out loud. I got so upset. I'm like, this is not a laughing matter. I'm about to die. She writes back, it's fraud. They're lying to you. It's a scam. They're trying to get you to pay them. But you could tell them that everything was already paid. Can I tell you, when I got back on that phone with that IRS, my whole tone changed. The way that I spoke changed. I got on the phone with them. Moments ago, I was like, no, you can't send them. Please, I'm going to die. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, send whoever you want, okay? I'm good. I'm good in any hood. No matter what anyone says or anyone does, my taxes were paid. My debt was paid. No matter what you're saying to me, I'm good and I'm here. Send me your best. The next time death calls you up, I want you to open the Bible. I want you to find that one scripture. What's that one scripture that's really encouraging, that one that says this. It says, First Corinthians 15, when death calls you, you should just be like, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Because for sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to tell you that there's no more work that needs to be done. You just have to reposition yourself and get behind the cross, because the established cross, death has lost. We have the victory, so I get to operate in victory. And when the enemy is taunting me, I taunt back. And when the enemy tries to lie to me, I talk back. And when serpents try to try to get the best of me. I take a hold of the scripture, and I don't talk face-to-face conversations with Satan. I have foot-to-face conversations with Satan, because I trample over my enemy. Whether it's a serpent or a lion, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you are grateful for the fact that the cross has had the final word and has given us all the victory, everything that we need, would you stand in the presence of Almighty Jesus right now? Would you lift up your hands? Would you open up your mouths? And would you take the next minute, the next 2 minutes, the next 5 minutes, and with everything on the inside of you, let's make up for time. All the times you were doubting, all the times you were fearful, you should have spent it praising. Can you start to praise in this place? All the true worshipers, start to praise. Lift up your hands, open up your mouths, and give Jesus a shout. 1, 2, 3, go! Hey. Jesus, there's no one like you, Jesus. There's no Satan. You thought you got the best of us, but there's no one like my God. We won. The cross is still established. We won. We praise your holy name. In a second, we're going to sing the song Champion, if that's okay. Or whatever song you want to sing. You guys are the experts, sorry. Before we get there, I want to make sure that everyone can get there. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, this is your moment. If you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, this is your moment. We all mess up at times. We all mess up our position at times. But this is the moment where you get right back in that shadow. If you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to recommit my life, I want to fight properly, I want to live properly in the shadow of the cross, I'm a count of three, and if that's you, you lift up your hand. One, Jesus loves you and he died specifically for you. Two, tomorrow's not promised to any man or any woman. In fact, the Bible says today's the day of salvation, encouraging us to take full advantage of this moment. If that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus, lift up your hand now. Lift it up. Lift it up. Lift it up. Yeah. Great. All of you that have your hands lifted up, you can leave them up. Leave them up. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Just keep them up. It's good for you and it's good for the enemy to know that he can't touch you anymore. You repositioned yourself. Lift up your hand. I want you to repeat this with me. In fact, let's all repeat it together. King Jesus, thank you for dying for me and 3 days later rising again. Forgive me of my sins and my foolishness. Jesus, I love you and I give my life to you. Have your way in me and through me. In the precious name of Jesus, we shout amen. We shout amen. Amen, amen, amen. Can I get you to lift up your hands? I'm going to pray over us. And then whatever song we decided on, we're going to sing with all our hearts. You ready for that? We're about to turn all the way up in this place. We're about to celebrate like never before. We have victory. We don't have to be sad. We have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Lift up your hands right now. Father God, we stand in your mighty presence right now. And we celebrate the fact that you died and you rose again. We celebrate the fact that you won and you will continue to win. And no one will take that victory from you. You are King and you are Lord. So we worship you in this place, knowing, oh God, that you died and and then resurrected yourself. And in the process, you killed death. So we're not going to allow death to taunt us. No, we're going to stand in the shadows of your cross, where our protections lie, where our blessings lie, where you have called us to be, because you are King and you are Lord. And as a result of it all, you will get all the glory, you will get all the praise, and you will get all the honor in the matchless and precious name of Jesus. If you agree with that, lift up your hands, open up your mouths, and with your best shout, give Jesus some praise in this place.